What I want to share with you tonight is massive. Cannot cover it in 30, 45, hour and a half. I can't do it. But I can make you think. And if I can just make you think, if I can just get you thinking about some of the things we're doing, then I will have accomplished the thing that I'm sent forth to do. What I want to share with you tonight is called Halloween. Halloween. How many has ever participated in Halloween? Okay. Now, I don't have to tell you what that's about. Spooks and goblins and ghosts and witches, demons. But what I want to project to you tonight is that there is a warfare going on, a spiritual warfare. And what that warfare is all about is your mind. And what I want you to see tonight and expand your thinking tonight is some of the things that we just do. We are no more aware of the spiritual attributes of it, of what it is taking place in our heads and in our minds. And I'll begin with Halloween, but I want to get into some other areas of our life that we just do and we don't think about what we're doing. Now, if the Lord allows me and desires that we do it, I'll also share with you some things concerning Christmas and some things concerning Easter. And you need to know these things. If I liken the church again to a home, and my children are not doing something in line with what I know should be done and what is right and what is wrong, is it my responsibility as the father of that home to tell them? Yes, it is. Then as the pastor of this house, the father ministry of this house, then also, when I see something going on that you may participate in, should I tell you? And can I tell you without coming across as a legalist? Can I tell you without coming across as a hard nose? Can I tell you without coming across as a weirdo? I want to say it in love. Somebody has to speak the truth in love. And I want to speak it in love to you. But I want you to realize some of the things we do, and we do them innocently, not realizing that in the spiritual world, we are doing it in darkness. We are participating in darkness, not understanding. The New Testament church does not understand. We use the word soul. We want to save souls, but what we're really talking about is we want to save minds. Spirit, soul, body, the three triune parts of a man. You have an understanding of what the spirit is. You understand what the body is. But what the soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. And that's what the battle is over. Your soul, your mind. How you think, what you think, your emotions. How you react to this, how you react to that, and your will, what you desire to do, what you desire not to do. And if we can get that understanding, when we say we want to save souls, we're really saying we want to save minds. I want to save your mind. Your spirit is saved. Your mind, your soul, your will, your intellect is being saved. And your body will be saved. And God's interested in all of those. But what He's working on right now is your thinking, your mind, your soul. And I want to start tonight with Halloween, and I think it's a real good place. I'm glad it's not Christmas. October the 31st, and let me give you first all of the historical things concerning Halloween, and most of this was taken straight out of the World Book Encyclopedia. So you can go home, most of you, and look it up. I don't care if you've got a World Book or any kind of encyclopedia. things I'll be sharing with you concerning the historical applications of Halloween are in your home, right there on the bookshelves. But we don't think to open them up and see what we're doing. Halloween, October the 31st. And this is a direct quote from the World Book Encyclopedia. At Halloween parties, people enjoy such activities as fortune telling, hearing stories about ghosts and witches, and bobbing for apples. Halloween developed from ancient New Year festivals of the dead. In AD 800s, the church established All Saints Day on November the 1st, so that people could continue a festival that had been established before they became Christians. Now, don't snicker too much, because it's the same thing about Christmas and Easter. I'm glad it's not Christmas. And we all know about Halloween. We know how it works. We dress our kids up in devil costumes and say, "What can it hurt?" Know you not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are you going to hang a devil costume on it? What does it hurt? Nothing. Nothing. Trick-or-treating, there's something devilish about Halloween. Would you agree with that? Something's wrong with us when we desire to look like devils and demons and witches. There is a darkness coming out of us, making itself known outwardly, that we're trying to keep hid inwardly. And so what we do trick-or-treating, the devil comes out of us, and young kids go around, "Trick-or-treat, trick-or-treat, give me something good to eat." And if they don't get that treat, they do a trick. And when they come to your house the end of this month, ring your doorbell, you will give them a treat, won't you? Because you don't want the devil in them to be played on you. How about the jack-o'-lantern? Jack-o'-lantern, pumpkin, with a carved face on it. It's an Irish tradition and an Irish legend about a man named Jack who could not enter heaven because he was a miser. And he could not enter hell because he played tricks on the devil. So Jack had to walk the earth with his lantern until judgment. But the thing about a jack-o'-lantern is that is the face of a demon that is carved on that thing. It surely isn't a face of a saint. And we'll carve those things and we'll set them out there on the porch and tell everybody we're Christians. How about fortune telling? Fortune telling goes right along with Halloween. In the older times, before it really, where it is right now, they would take a coin or a ring or a thimble and they'd bake it into cakes. And then you'd eat that cake, and if you found the coin, then you would be wealthy. If you found the ring, you would get married. If you found the thimble, you would never get married. What do they do today? They take apples or candy, still sticking things in them, aren't they? Razor blades, drugs. You see how it's just kept on coming, right on down to where it's at. Bobbing for apples. This got started, and it was said that if you could bob for an apple in a bucket of water and pick up an apple only with your teeth, then you would be lucky all year long. Are Christians lucky?
No.
The name Halloween comes from two words, Hallowed and Even. When he taught us to pray, he said, when you pray, say, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed Old English word meaning holy. Hallowed be thy name. And the even is an abbreviation for evening. So the literal rendering of Halloween is holy evening. Can you imagine that? That's interesting, isn't it? Holy evening. And we drape demons and witches and ghost costumes over children. Let them run around apples and getting apples and candies on holy evening. Holy evening. What I'll be showing you, and I'll show you begin tonight, and if the Lord allows me to, Christmas and Easter. But all of them are pagan customs and pagan rituals and pagan beliefs that have just funneled down through Christianity, down to where they're at right now. You can look them up, every one of them. Easter will astonish you. And it is no accident that bunny rabbits, what's the bunny rabbit good for? To eat. But to make more bunnies. The main thing, you put two bunny rabbits together and it won't take long. You'll have a bunch of bunny rabbits. And Easter, if you'll even look up the word, means Ashtoreth. And Ashtoreth was the female attribute to Baal. Baal was a bull. Ashtoreth was the female bull. And it was a fertility cult. Eggs, same thought. Take one chicken, and in 21 days you'll have a bunch of chickens. And they used rabbits and chickens and these types of things way back all the way. You can trace it all the way back to Babylon, ancient Babylon. Not the Babylon we live in today, ancient Babylon. And you can see how it's come right on down. And we color Easter eggs and eat them and buy the children bunny rabbits. They've even got a commercial now where a bunny rabbit lays an egg. And I'm not talking about Easter, so I got to get off of that. But in the 1800s, the immigrants came across. And with them, they brought the majority of these traditions that we now celebrate, Easter and Halloween in particular. They brought them across with them. And the amazing thing about this is if you correlate what was happening in the spirit world against what was happening in the natural world in this particular time of 1800s to 1900s, you will see that as these immigrants come across, bringing with them these things. Also, at the same times, was things like the Mormon church beginning started. The Church of Jesus Christ for the Latter-day Saints, Joe Smith was its author. It got started. It happened in 1830 to 1850. It's a cult. Now, what about the Fox Sisters and Spiritism? About the same time, having seances, contacting the dead. And Mary Baker Eddy, the same period of time, began Christian Science. So you see, all this was happening at the same time, 1850 to 1900. And then what happened in 1900, the early 1900s? The outpouring of the Holy Ghost began again. I'm trying to show you something. In 1901 on Azusa Street, in 1906 in Tulsa, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost began again. People began receiving the outpouring of the Holy Ghost again. There's a spiritual warfare. And the enemy was trying to set up all of these spiritism things. Halloween, Easter, Mary Baker Eddy, Spiritism, Christian Science, all of these things just before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the 1900s. Do you see that? And what I'm trying to project to you right now is what I'll be coming across with right now today. He is again waging an attack in the spirit world as well as in the natural world, because it's coming the end time. The last day is upon us, and it's just before happening. And there's something once again coming through the spirit realm. You watch your television. I'll get into it in just a minute. On Saturday mornings, what do you see? Commercials. Cartoons. Yeah, losing words. Cartoons filled with nothing but the supernatural. And your kid sits there, and my kids will sit there glued to that thing. Even my big kid sits there. Transformers. Well, what do you want to be transformed into? A robot that can fly? Or the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Voltran. Super Friends. You see the supernatural realm that our children are being programmed into? And in these last days, there will be a supernatural warfare unlike anything that we've ever been able to establish or seen before in our time. But let's get back to Halloween. The Druids, which was probably the beginning of this thing, and you can look all this up in your encyclopedia, but they believed that witches and elves and demons all came out to hurt people on this night. The Druids was also a religious organization. How about black cats? Black cats. Now, it was believed that a black cat was sacred and that they are really reincarnated people. People who had been bad, evil in their lifetime and had been punished by being reincarnated into a cat. A black cat. These things were handed down to the farmers, and farmers believed that if they went through certain rituals and ordeals and so forth, that if they done these things, then their crops would prosper. And they knew that they were reaching into a spiritual world. They knew that they were really contacting the devil. And so this was the only time of the year, one time a year, that they would ask the devil for his help. And girls seeking a husband would begin to ask the devil on Holy Evening. You see, they couldn't wait till Holy Evening got here so that they could find him a husband. Wanted him a husband. So they would wait till Holy Evening got there. And they would go through all of these rituals and paganistic things. Don't zip that up. We're going to get into it in just a second. So you see how this thing is, this real Halloween, Holy Evening, what it really is. And what we have got to realize, and I'm trying to go by my notes so I won't leave anything important out. What we've got to realize is there is a battle going on. And when the dust is settled, now listen to me, when it's all over and done and the dust is settled, your mind will be the mind of Christ or your mind will be the mind of the beast. And when is the warfare going on? Will it be out there one day or is it now? You are fighting the battle right now. What you read, what you listen to, what you watch on television, what you watch on the movies, is all fighting for your mind. I'm fighting for your mind. Everything is fighting for the way you think. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? And you gotta see tonight. You gotta see. That these children going trick-or-treating are doing it in darkness. They may be Christians. They may just they're just ignorant to what they're doing. I know that. But it's still darkness. And who's getting their minds? Do you see that? Now, let's talk about some TV programs just a second. Do you remember, and I think it's probably on now again, the TV program Bewitched? Do you remember that? That was such a subtle way that the devil comes, the enemy comes, darkness comes. Such a subtle way of making witchcraft look good and pleasant and pleasing. Didn't it? You know, you wiggle your nose, things happen. We don't realize we're sitting there watching that stuff, participating in witchcraft, rooting for her. Who was you pulling for? Come on, Samantha? Yeah, you was. She's a pretty witch. So whose side was you on? The witches. You never was on Darren's. Am I right? All right, let me get these cartoons out of the way. I just made a list here. I didn't know cartoons. I really don't. I mean, I had to walk out of my... I had to walk out of my study and I say, what are some cartoons that come on Sunday mornings? I've got Captain Marvel and Isis. Now that used to be one. I wrote these down before I asked. Is that still on? No. But it used to be on, didn't it? Captain Marvel and Isis. Super Friends. I think I had Superman and Superwoman and Wonder Woman, but they told me it was now Super Friends. Is that supernatural? Yes, it is. And what are your children watching? What are they putting in? Smurfs. Look the word up. Just look it up. Find out what Smurfs mean. What is shirt tails? I know you told me, but I can't remember.
They're like animals.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Dungeons and Dragons. Is that demonic? Transformers. He-Man, the power of Grayskull. Voltran. Your children, now listen to me, your children are being programmed into the supernatural. They are much further along probably than any of us realize. The only thing we don't realize is they're being programmed into the wrong kingdom. Now, I am not a legalistic preacher. I really am not. And when your kids go to school and they have the Halloween parties, and you say, well, what do you do about that? You know, it's all around you. There's black cats all over the walls and you know, pumpkins and stuff. What do? You raise your children up in the way that they should go. If you'll teach them at home, you'll tell them what's happening. See, I've shared some things already with mine. And now things that mean a lot to other children don't mean as much to mine. And they see the light of it. They see the darkness, rather, of it as they put light onto it. And Bonnie really won't talk too much about it. Now, Lance will. But Bonnie really won't talk too much about it. But they know. And they know where Daddy stands. Is that right, baby? That's right. But they know. And they have been trained and taught and told right and wrong concerning these things. Now, this is the first time I've ever taught on Halloween. I got Christmas last Christmas, and I got Easter last Easter, and I got Halloween now. Let's look at some scriptures. But have I showed you some things about the history aspects of Halloween? Brought them out to you a little bit. Now, you can do that very same thing. All you've got to do is get your encyclopedias out. And go ahead and look up Christmas and Easter. Then maybe I won't have to get up here and get you mad at me. Let's look first at Deuteronomy 18. Got a whole lot of scripture. I doubt we'll look at it all. But I just want you to see how God kind of feels about these things. Deuteronomy 18. Start at verse 9 through verse 14. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14. And God says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. God says there are some people there who are going to do some abominations. An abomination simply means disgust. He says there are some things you're going to see there that disgust me. You're going to see some things there that disgust me. In verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a neuromancer. Somebody say that better. Necromancer. That's it. Necromancer. Now, who is verse 10 addressed to? Parents or children? Parents. It's addressed to you. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes your children dress up like devils, ghosts, and goblins, and witches, and diviners. Can you hear that? Verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. They disgust me, saith God. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. But yet thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord God hath not suffered thee so to do. Does he want you to participate in Halloween?
No.
Kind of clear, isn't it?
Amen.
Something I need to show you. In verse 9, he says, don't learn to do after these abominations. Have we learnt this? Have we learnt to do it, though, you see? But we've done it in ignorance. We didn't know. Now we know. But the principle that you need to see and you need to get a hold of here, of what you learn to do, verse 9, you are in verse, where? 12. If you learn to do them, you become them. And we need to learn what the Lord really says about such things. Let's go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is running a big revival. And in verses 9, on down through about 24, 25. You meet a man named Simon who's a sorcerer. And I want you to see what Peter's response was to this sorcerer. Now what happened, and I'll just talk about it so I won't have to read the whole thing. But what happened is Philip had this big revival going. People getting saved, water baptized. They had not yet received the Holy Ghost. So So John and Peter come up from Jerusalem, and they go up there and they begin to lay hands on people and they start receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost like three did today, right here. And they laid their hands on those people and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this Simon, the sorcerer, saw immediately that that was supernatural. And in verse 9, well, I don't want to read all that. But what happened is he began to offer them money for this gift. He wanted to pay Peter and John some money so that he could do that. So that he could lay hands on people and they start talking like that. That they could enter into a supernatural realm. And he wanted to do it so he could gain money. Now look what Peter says unto him. Well, let's see. Verse 18, I'll pick up a little bit on Simon. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the hands, laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. In other words, you're demon possessed. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. What you're witnessing right there is the clash of light and darkness. Peter and John were laying hands on people, winning their souls, their minds to the kingdom of light. Simon wanted that same power, but for iniquity. He wanted to lay his hands and win their minds for the purposes of iniquity. Whose knee bowed? That's right. Simon the sorcerer bowed to the Christ in Peter. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess who's Lord. A clash going after the minds of people. Go to 13, Acts 13. Same basic thing, only this time it's the Apostle Paul. And we'll just read these. Verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now what it's talking about here is this fella, and he's, well, I guess, but just go back to verse 6. And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Barjesus, which was with the deputy of the country, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. The point I want you to get, what was apostolic ministry's reaction to sorcery? What was their apostolic reaction to these demonic activities? Did they go along with it? Did they say, oh, it won't hurt nothing? He looks so cute in his little devil outfit. They'll be blind. What then should be my reaction to demonic activity, to Halloween, to black cats, to witches and goblins and demons and jack-o'-lanterns? What should it be? Then what should your reaction be? It won't hurt nothing. But Brother Delbert, he's so cute. First John chapter 4. Are we talking spiritual stuff? Are we just talking, you know, oh, it's just Halloween? We're talking about spirits, aren't we? First John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, some spirits are going to tell you, oh, it's all right. And if you'll listen to them, we'll continue right along the same paths that we've always continued. Now, I really want to emphasize this. I am not legalistic. And once you have told your children and really explained to them what's happening. Now if they're little, you got to take some actions here. But once they've grown up, don't get them to a point of rebellion against you. Don't you stuff this stuff down their throats, because they'll vomit it out. That's why it's so important to raise them up in the way they should go. But you have got to, as parents, try the spirits and see what manner of spirit that it is. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Is Halloween of God? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You tell me what possible edification the church gets out of our kids being dressed up like demons and goblins and witches. It says there, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Does that confess that? Does that confess that to you, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, when we see children running up and down in ghosts and goblins and demons and devil outfits? Try the spirit. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You see, I want you to see, I'm just kind of amazed myself as I see how the Lord has unfolded things to us here and the manner in which He's done it. You see, I got last week to share with you along the lines of Antichrist and the mark of the beast. And now this makes sense to you, doesn't it? And if your children are doing this, now you tell me, I'm just asking, as a concerned pastor, if your children are doing this, tell me which mark they're taking. Sad, isn't it? And I can go right back over to Deuteronomy, about where we started at. And it's addressing the parent. And it tells you, don't let your children do those things. A few more. Leviticus 19. I'll wind it on down now. I think you see what you should see. Leviticus 19. Verses 30 and 31. Leviticus 19, verse 30. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths. I've explained somewhat of what that really means. And reverence my sanctuary. Who is the sanctuary? You got to reverence it. You got to teach your children to reverence their sanctuary, their temple, their body. It is where God dwells. Please don't drape a devil outfit across it. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards. Be not defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Isaiah 8, well, let's see, Leviticus 20, while we're right here in Leviticus, verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, I will, well, isn't that a strong word? I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, this was written in the Levitical times of Moses, wasn't it? If you know your Bible, this was given in the times of Moses after Sinai. The laws on tables of stones. Right? Then, if you were alive then, and that church in the wilderness of Israel, and you would, according to that scripture, what would happen to you? You'll be cut off. And I got one here, and I don't have them labeled. Let's go to Exodus 22:18. Maybe this is it. And if you were dressed up in a witch's outfit now in the times of Moses, I want you to see what would happen to you. Exodus 22, verse 18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So what does God think about Halloween? It's an abomination. Isaiah 8, and this will be the last one. Isaiah 8 and 19. Isaiah 8, verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. When they shall say to you, let's go trick-or-treating, and let's dress up like wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? Should you be seeking for the living or for the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light. There is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly, be steed and hungry. We wonder why sometimes Christians have such a hard time. Can't make ends meet. No money to buy groceries. One day I'll show you in Malachi 3, you're cursed with a curse. We're so ignorant sometimes of the things of God. We do things that disgust Him. And right here it tells us, and they shall pass through it hardly, be steed and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. I'll summarize and just hush. It's not a place to quit. Halloween was brought into this country in the 1800s. It is not Christian. And sometimes we believe that because America does it, because America is so-called a Christian nation, it's all right to participate in Halloween. And even though I can show you and have showed you tonight, it has religious roots. Did I show you that? It has religious roots. It was brought into the church, in the Catholic Church, it was brought into the church in a religious thing so that they could continue on the pagan rituals. Even though it has some religious roots, it is of darkness and it is of the devil. And I've showed you all the historical things about Halloween. The jack-o'-lantern, the black cats, the bobbing for apples. I've shown you even where razor blades are now stuck into apples and candies and dope. And this all takes its roots all the way back. But what I really want you to see, you're smart enough now to know whether it's right or wrong. You've had some light put on it. It may have been a dark spot, but I've taken a flashlight tonight and I've really flashed it on there for you. And now it's up to you. It's up to you. But what I really want you to see tonight, more than anything else, is the warfare that goes on right now for your soul, which is your mind. That's one way the enemy's coming. There is a supernatural warfare going on. Halloween is supernatural. Now, it may look childish, it may look simple, it may look all right, but it is supernatural. And it is in the realm of the spirit. I've showed you and made you aware of some things about television. You may need to look into some of these things. Brother Ken, before church, was talking to me about hard music, backmasking, the words that these things are saying. You need to investigate some of these things, parents. Amen. The battle is for your child's mind. And it's up to you to protect that mind until they're able to. You know the battle where the battle is on you. You know where you have your hardest struggles. It's between your ears. And the only thing that keeps you from becoming what you need to become in the kingdom of God is between your ears. That's where the warfare is. And we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Your heavenly place. Right here. Halloween is darkness. What do you do when they come up and want candy? I wished I had some answers here. You don't want to be tricked. I know that. I don't either. But we're participating with it even there. Give them a track. I know this is a little tough and this is a little different. And it's like so many things that I'll be sharing with you and teaching with you. Somewhere down the line, somebody's got to step out and change it. Or we can continue on like we've been going. And I don't want to do that. I want to change. I just feel it. I know that, baby, if you want to go on home, y'all can go home. I'm sorry. I'm so long-winded sometimes. But is there any questions or discussions that maybe we need to have tonight? Just some thoughts that you've had that maybe you'd like to share, or some things that have happened to you that would help other members of the body of Christ. I think it's clear. I think it's clear what the Lord says about it. And I will not come down on you if you go trick-or-treating. Don't think I will. I won't condemn you. I hope you don't. Roger?
For a long time, when we came into the truth and light of this several years ago, as we've been raising our children in that same light as you've shared tonight, rather than turn other kids away, we do give them a piece of candy, but we also give them a tract. It's made up by the Faith in Action Prayer League. I've got the address at home. And it's a tract that tells you that Halloween is wrong. And it's one way that you can suddenly put out the Word of God on Halloween, and yet you're not depriving that little kid right then and there, hoping that that little kid will receive the truth from mom or dad. Maybe mom or dad will pick that up.
That's good.
You know, you're planting the seed of what you're doing.
That's good.
That's what we've been doing.
Well, I'm going to repeat that for the tape's sake. Roger said that what he has done is give a piece of candy for the trick and treat, but at the same time give a track. And at the same time you're giving the treat and staying away from the trick, you're giving a track, you're planting the seed of God, the Word of God.
Trick or track.
Trick or track. That's good. Trick or track. It's all right.
But the track is about Halloween.
Okay. And the track is about Halloween. That's good. Anything else?
I'm going to ask a question. What we read earlier, as I misunderstood you, the participants in that would be cut off from God. Is that right?
Well, participant, those that become this abomination will be cut off.
Well, I'm getting around to one of the terms that I was thinking about. Every year they
there is a, I mean, I'm hoping I'm opening up some things to you today, even concerning churches. There is a church down around home, and every year they have a haunted house. I mean, they lease an entire house and fix this thing up. And it's an abomination to me, whether it's an abomination to God or not. You know, I hate it. I do not like it. And it's not very far from my home. But anyway, and I go by it all often while it's going on. In fact, they were cutting the grass the other day, and the Lord spoke to me, share Halloween, as I rode by, in fact. But anyway, I'll say this, and I put it on this tape, and you know, it's difficult when you make these kind of statements. But 90% of the church world does not know what they're doing. There is a first fruits off of Zion in Revelation 14. A first fruits. And a first fruit is the first maturing part. When they came to give tithes, they gave the first fruit off of the first that was given. The first harvest was a first fruit, and it was 10% of that first fruit. And off of Zion, it goes a first fruit company. It's a 10%. And it's in Ezekiel, I believe, and he says that a tenth will come to God. Now, that's kind of heavy stuff. But what I'm saying here is that there's 10% of the first fruit, or the tenth, that knows what they're doing here and are in the will of God. I had to think about that just a second when I got that in my spirit. But the majority of the Christian world is in darkness. And you can put it as nice as you want to, but some will be cut off, or the book lies. Edie? That's good. You have to be as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. And even coming up here, you know, I still have to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. And you people are receptive. You know, you people are listening. But you go to a place like your work area, your workplace, it gets difficult sometimes. And so you live it. You're the light, and it's your life they're really going to look at. But I want to get back to the first part of your question. I've seen that. I've seen that where you would come dressed as even biblical characters, to a party at the church, you know, and that, of course, is much better, and it gives everybody something to do on that particular night. And I guess there was a time when I felt that wasn't good, because you were still kneeling, as it was to me, to their ways. But yet, still, that's light compared to that darkness. And I would much rather have my child going to a church, my daughter dressed up as the woman at the well maybe, and my son dressed up as Peter or Paul. I would much rather that happening, imitating and being transformed into those images, than being transformed into those abominations that disgust God. So I would, if I would definitely go along with that. That's good.
Now,
that's real good.
I don't mean that God.
No, that's real good.
A party that the church had, and you just need to come tacky and not know Halloween. I mean, you're not haunting Halloween. You're just coming for Halloween.
I would get together in fellowship. Right.
But
that's good.
Fellowship, but I mean,
that's good.
All right.
Let me carry that on. I see if I'm saying what you're saying. To him that knoweth to do good and to do it not, to him it is sin. And I think, Willis, that gets back to what you're talking about. People who are ignorant to this thing, right? Then it, to them, it's not sin.
But if somebody should tell them whether they believe or not.
Yeah. But then I got to go a little deeper. There, I still think there was a part in me that, even though no one had taught me or told me the truth concerning Halloween, I still felt wrong. There is a demonic spirit on that night. There is a demonic spirit. And what she said, carrying that on just a little bit further, now we've been enlightened on it. It's up to you. You know, I can't make you do anything. I'm going to make you think. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to show it to you in the Word. And then you've got to walk it out and live it out. To a pastor, to a teacher, he receives the greater judgment. And if I don't share to you things, and there are many, many more things, but if I don't, in time, and when the Lord provokes me to do it, share with you truths, I'll be judged for it. But to him that knoweth to do good and to do it not, to him it is sin. So, you've been trying to get up for 5 minutes. I've been watching you trying to. I got to write that down. If I get into a room and teach about measles and I've got chicken pox, they're not going to get what I taught. They're going to get what I got. That's good. That's good. I love you all. Stand. There's a scripture that the Lord just gave me just this moment to say. And it's simply this: you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free. And it's make because there's no quickies. This is line upon line upon line, and precept upon precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Strength to strength, faith to faith, glory to glory. The truth doesn't just set you free. But over the period of changing and changing, it'll make you free. I preach the truth to you tonight. And many times when I do that, I try to do it in love, and I come across sometime in a condemnational way, and I really don't want to be. I really don't. Because I love you, and I want you to love me so much. And the only way I can do that is to tell you the truth. Father, thank you for your word.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, thank you for...